If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at different scriptures as we go along, and I'll try and make sure that I give them to you up front so that you can read through them. But we've been in a series talking about just walk across the room. God talks about us to share our faith, and that to release the hope that we have, and that to go and to talk and to share and to open our hearts, to pray for people, to compel people to come into Christ. Yet, it's one of the hardest things for us to do because we make it so complicated. There's no formula, there's no rhyme, there's no reason, because it's not about those things. It's about people. And every person you go and talk to is different. And so, therefore, you've got to get to know and build a relationship. You've got to open your heart. It's not about a notch on the belt. It's not about that. It's about a heart receiving Christ. Just think about what happened in your heart when you opened your heart to Christ. That which was lost became found. That which was broken, all of a sudden, got fixed. God just showed up with a miracle. God revealed something, and all of a sudden, everything inside that was heavy and ucky, all of a sudden, started to shift and change. See, God makes all the difference. Next slide, Kim. And that we heard, and that over our last bit, you can go on to rockliff.org, and you can go under sermons, and you can pick up this. I don't want to go on too long, but Matthew 28:9 talks about that he's called us to go and make disciples. He's called us to go and share the faith. He's called us to go and share the love of God to everyone that is around. So we're consistently looking for ways to give the single greatest gift to someone living far from God. Every day, that's your mission. Every day, that's part of the focus. Oh, don't get me wrong, we still got to put our socks on, and that we still got to get dressed. We still got to go to work for those that are working. We still got to do the things that we're in. But all of those things are for one reason, and that's to release Jesus and to share him. You see, we get disfocused because we take on the patterns of this world that keep challenging us in a different way, that it's all about me, that I'm the center of the universe, that I'm the one in my life, I'm the king. But as a believer in Christ, we bow our knee and say, no, I'm not the king anymore. I'm not the queen anymore. He's my king, and I submit my life to him. So therefore, everything in our life now has rhyme and has reason and have purpose. Going to the grocery store now is a whole lot more meaning than just getting milk and eggs or whatever else that you need. Because you never know. That might be the divine appointment for your day that God wants you to stop and talk with someone or pray with someone. Going into the bank, going to the dentist's office. Now it could be an exciting moment because you never know what conversation God wants to bring across your path. You see, when we lose sight of that, everything becomes mundane and boring. Everything gets into ruts and routines, and we just get through that, and we're slugging and plugging, and we're just like, are you serious? You can't lose sight of the greatest mission that God has called you and I to be a part of. Otherwise, not only will your life get boring, but you'll end up getting boring because there's no life inside of you. There's no flow and movement inside of you because everything that God is pouring into you is now just sitting inside of you, and it becomes like a swamp. It becomes like a dead pool of water. But God says he wants us to be teeming with life. And the only way teeming with life happens is God pours into us, we pour out. He pours into us, we pour out. So it's this continual flow of water through us. And that's that living water, that flowing fountain that comes out inside of us that doesn't ever go stale or stagnant. God is looking for that, and he's calling for that inside of you. Next slide. And that Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. You want to know the mission of Christ? That's his mission. His mission is to make sure everyone that is lost and that would be found. Everyone that is lost would be found, and everything that is broken would get fixed. Everything that is captive would get released. Everything that's a prisoner will be set free. And that so that they will be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. See, God is for you. He's not against you. He created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Why would he do that only to beat you down? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He formed you. He knit you together. And he says, that is good. And therefore, everything in heaven and earth, and that he's causing things to move around, and that to try and catch our attention, and that try and help us to understand just how good the God that we serve as we open our hearts to him. Next slide. Next slide. So we talked about developing friendships, how to build a bridge of friendship, and that if you just click again. See, good friendships are usually intentional rather than accidental. We should make our plans counting on God to direct us. So become aware. Become aware of your surroundings. Become aware of the people. And that typically in the world that we live in today, and that when we go through life, it's, hi, how are you doing? How are things? Yeah? Okay, great. Thank you very much. I didn't really want to care and hear what you were saying anyways because I'm busy. I'm busy, I'm on the move, and I'm as guilty as anyone else, especially on Sunday mornings when I'm thinking 19 things in my head, and we have to be aware, and that not necessarily aware that someone wants to sit and talk for 20 hours with you, but be aware of Holy Spirit. What is Holy Spirit saying to you? And if he says stop, he'll take care of the rest of your business. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're at work and work is paying you, don't say, oh, well, I'm stopping to talk on my phone to this person because I feel like God told me I need to talk to him right now. And if you felt that impressed, go to your boss and ask your boss, right? But in that part is become aware. Click. Commit to pray. Not just a one-off spin-off. Hey, I'm praying for you. Never think about it again. If you're that type of person where you forget, and not intentionally, but it just happens, write it down. If you don't have any paper with you, and that, write it on your hand until you get home, and then write it down. Text it to yourself. Send a message in your notes, and that start that prayer list. And that we need to start to put things down, otherwise you and I will forget. And listen to me, it only gets tougher as you get older. Right? It only gets tougher as you get older to remember things. And so we need to write it down. Step 3, show you care. Show you care. Right? It's not about, oh, I got to get this out. I'm on page 825. I got to get to 850 with you right now. So sit down and listen. It's not about that. You could share one word. And that could do more in someone's life than you sitting there for 3 hours having a conversation with them. Pray. Ask Holy Spirit. Become aware of what's going on. And that show that you care. And 4, be ready to share. In season and out of season. You need to be ready to share. See, there's nothing more exciting than to be used by God. Next slide. Discover the stories, find out where people are, why they are where they are. Discern the steps and that what to take, and that's through prayer, asking the Lord. So, and that if you have the green insert with you, you can pull out the green insert for a second. See, there's nothing more exciting than to be used by God. Nothing more exciting in your life than to be partnering with him and be used by him. And that's what brings life inside of us. And that not only that we are saved and I'm set free and I'm delivered and, oh, that's great, but that he allows me to partner with him and move with him and breathe with him and share with him in victories and see things happen and be a partaker in stuff. That's the part of life that he wants to flow. He says, I've given you life and life more abundant. But more, there is absolutely nothing better than leading or sharing or witnessing and helping someone open their heart to Christ. Nothing more exciting than that. In fact, the Bible says, and that when we come to church and we sing 15 songs and we hear some things, all heaven rejoices and have a party. No, it doesn't say that. But it does say when someone comes to Christ, when someone opens their heart, all heaven breaks out in a massive party. God likes the party. God loves the party. Now, don't go weird and look at the world's parties and think that God's just like that. No. God created that celebrations. God created those things. It's the enemy that has perverted and twisted them. And that by celebrating someone and something is actually from God. And we need to do it a whole lot more. And maybe, just maybe, if we do it enough, the world will start to see a different pattern again. And that they will celebrate different so they remember it the next day. So it's not full of regrets and pains and hurts. You need to know God's story. He has a story. You need to learn it, and you need to learn it to tell it well. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Before Christ, no matter how good we think we've got it and things that are, it's full of death, emptiness, dead ends. But in Christ, it's full of life, full of a future, full of plans, full of promises, full of hope, not only in this world, but after this world. He says that heaven is real. Hell is real too. No one likes to talk about it. But heaven and hell are real places. God created them. But God's will is every single human being would end up here in heaven. That's why Jesus died. That's why he came. That's why he revealed himself. That's why he gave us the word of God. That's why he's moving and Holy Spirit is showing and revealing himself, because his will is everyone will end up here. Created this for the devil and the fallen angels. But you and I have a choice. It's not a choice of heaven and hell. You don't have a choice in that. The choice is, are you going to follow Christ? If you follow Christ, there's nowhere else to go but heaven. If you choose not to follow him, there's nowhere else to go but hell. It's just reality. But the choice is not about that. Because if the choice was just about that, everyone would choose heaven. Hello? No one wants to burn. No one wants to be in torment. No one wants to be in darkness. No one wants that. It's not about that. It's about, will you open your heart to Jesus? Will you surrender your life to him? Will you allow him not only to be your Savior, but will you let him be your Lord? Lord means master, your boss, the lead of your life. Will you surrender for him to be king? Matthew chapter 5 and that verse 13 to 16 says that we are the salt and we are the light. If you are the salt of the earth, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under the basket. Instead, put it out on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine before man, for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And that we can't hide the fact that Jesus is everything. I remember having conversations with my sister. She was sharing with me, and it was just a season and a time in one of my brother's lives that he didn't really want to hear a whole lot, didn't want to talk a lot about God, and she had a little bit of a bump in the road in a discussion with him. So she called me and said, you know, hey, Phil, I just want you to know, I know you're going to be talking to him soon, and that don't bring anything up about God. Okay, I just had a bump with him in that right now. Just don't bring it up. And I said, listen, I can't help but talk about it. And somewhere in the conversation, it's going to come up. I'm not going to purposely pull it out and rah. No, but I said, if Jesus is everything in my life, like he can't help but come out. And within no time, we were having a conversation, and partway through the conversation, he asked me, he says, so what's new? What's happening? Well, I can't help but talk about what God's been doing in my life, because that's new and it's happening. And I begin to share with them. Same with the people I play basketball with every week. And that I look for opportunity. And I just share my life. And my life now is not my own. It's Christ. So he comes out all the time. So on your green piece of paper, if you take a second with me. Again, I'm not into formulas or any of that. But these are helpful little tools to be able to understand in a nice compact way God's story. And that, so you have the four spiritual laws, and that it's been around forever and ever and ever, but it talks about the law of God, the law of man, the law of Christ, the law of salvation. It walks through that whole part, and that of understanding just this call that he's calling us to do, and that maybe that one doesn't work for you or understand. Well, then there's the Romans road it talks about, and that's walking through scripture after scripture in Romans that help you tell God's story so someone can be able to grab a hold of it. On the other side, you've got another analogy that people use, and it's called the bridge. That there's a great chasm, and no matter how good you are or how hard you work, you can't make it across it. You stand on this side, we stand on this side, God stands on this side, and there's a big gulf, and there's nothing we can do to get to the other side except for Christ. When Christ came, that cross caused a bridge between us and God. He made us righteous and holy and declared us that and clothed us with what his righteousness and what he has done. And as we embrace the cross, we accept what he's done and we open our hearts to him, we have now access to God. You see, you need to understand the story, God's story and what he's done. I mean, these are just little snippets and that idea. And if you've been around Christianity for a long time, you've got a big, massive picture of it. Right from Genesis to Revelations, God has been revealing himself to this world. Amen? But in that part is we need to know it. And a lot of times when we talk about it or I ask people, I don't even know what to say. Study to show yourself approved. Prepare yourself. Because Holy Spirit is challenging us that the harvest is ready. People are in places of life right now. They really want to know the truth. And remember, it's only the truth that will set them free. So get to know God's story and what he's saying. So how do you start spiritual conversations? And that one is through the direct method. In other words, you don't wait for an opportunity. You create an opportunity. Say, hey, my name is Phil. And that I'm just coming to share, and that I just want to talk to you a little bit, whatever it might be. But create an opportunity. Raise a spiritual topic to see if there's any interest in the person. You don't force them, but you open the door. If they don't take the hint, return to a safe topic. Some sample. I love that sound. And that with the direct method, some sample questions are, you know, you might say, hey, do you ever think about spiritual things? If you ever wanted to know the difference between Christianity and religion, let me know. Those are direct questions you can ask. Or how's it really going? You know, and I know most times you say, hey, how are things going? Oh, great. Good. But reality is underneath, we're struggling really hard. We just don't feel that we can be honest with the people around us because if we are, they wouldn't like us or they wouldn't be around us or they wouldn't know what to do. Right? So pause and ask that direct question. No, how is it really going? And then take time. Or who in your opinion was Jesus Christ? Do you ever wonder what happens to us when we die? What do you think a real Christian is? That's a great conversation. What do you think a real Christian is? It'd be amazing some of the answers you might get.
you actually might grow too.
What's your spiritual background? Were you taught a particular religion growing up? Well, what's your background? Great direct questions to ask. The second in starting spiritual conversations is the indirect method. In other words, it builds on the direction the conversation is headed already in, using topics being discussed as a bridge to relate it to spiritual things. So in the indirect way, and that's some sample questions, is how's it going financially? Well, it's financially, it's doing okay. Family-wise, it's pretty good. Spiritually, I don't know, I guess. Which one of these do you really want to talk about today? They brought it up. As you ask the question, they're sharing those things. Hey, which one of them would you like to talk about today? Or what are you doing on the weekend? Well, I enjoy, sound equipment or something, or I enjoy music or kids, or I enjoy something else. And then following up is, where do you do that? Where do you do those things? Well, I used to be in a band, or I used to do this, but now I don't do anything. Oh, man, at our church we play music. Right? Open the conversation. Do you ever think that Easter celebration is based on fact or fiction? Around Easter, as you're talking or moving in that place, or around Christmas, you might say, do you buy into the idea that baby Jesus was God's son? Where do you fit with that? Not just his baby in a manger, but he was actually God's son. Or the last part of starting a spiritual conversation is that invitational method. In other words, you're transitioning the conversation by inviting them to an event that relates to the topic they're discussing. Giving a visual reminder, whether it be your invite. You're invited. Everyone is invited. Whether it was to MOPS last night, to the fundraiser paint night for a great fellowship of painting big signs and other stuff. They had an amazing time together. Or it's some other event, whether it was with Watoto or whatever. And that when people say, hey, I really like kids. Oh, you should come. We've got Watoto kids from Africa coming. It's going to be amazing. Use those invitational method is another way to invite people, to connect with people, to open a door. Maybe you're feeling it hard to navigate, and that might open a door so that all of a sudden others now are making connection, so that all of a sudden now the conversation opens up. In other words, pray about it. Take an interest in another person's world. And I think of not necessarily in sharing Christ, but just taking an interest in another people's world. I had a lead pastor in Littleton, New Brunswick that loved cars. Man, I drove a Hyundai Pony. If you know what that is, it's like a Lada. And if you don't know what that is, it's like a Datsun 210. I owned a Hyundai Pony. I owned a Nissan Micra. In other words, cars don't really mean anything to me. I'm sorry, guys, that maybe do like cars, and that it just really doesn't matter. As long as it gets me to A to B, it doesn't really matter. But I really wanted to grow in relationship with my lead pastor, and I found out he liked cars. So I spent time carrying tools, getting like monkey grease all over me, and that laying on the ground next to him as he's changing parts out on his Corvette and souping it up and doing stuff, helping him with this and that, getting to know about cars, being able to talk a few terms, and that. Why? Not because I like cars. Because I wanted to build a relationship with him. So take an interest in the other person's world. Talk to people one-on-one. And that be willing to take risks. See, these starting spiritual conversations is pretty important. Things in life just don't happen. Sometimes they do, and God just opens up doors. But other times he says, go. That's why he said, go to the highways and byways. He's telling us, go. Start a conversation. Don't wait just for everything to happen. Because what if the other side is feeling uncomfortable and everything, and they don't want to say anything? right? It's like a mother and a daughter, and the daughter's starting to go through change of life and puberty, and they're so afraid, I don't know. And if they don't have the conversation, and mom never has a conversation, they could be scarred for life for a while there, or for a long time, because things happen. Things take place, and all of a sudden they're caught, they're found, and they don't know what to do, they don't know how to handle it. Have the conversation. Don't be afraid. Have that conversation. Open yourself up. Share Christ. Move into that place. If you have the purple handout, if you open that up and grab along with me, we're going to walk through this for a little bit. And about sharing your story. The second part, first is know God's story. Know it well. And that don't put it off and say, well, that's someone else's job. No. You need to know it and know it well. Get to know his story. Get into the Word of God. Grab a hold of it. But secondly, you need to know your story, and you need to know it well. And that Bible talks about that is called your testimony. And then I want to share a couple scriptures with you. The first one, next slide, I believe, is 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light." And that, let me just share the exact same verse, but a different version for a moment. So I'll just listen to it for a moment here. It says, you are the ones chosen by God, God's instrument to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and the day difference he has made in you. God has set you apart. He's called you higher so that you can share what he's done in your life. That's called a testimony. Sharing your story. A personal testimony is still the most persuasive form of communication. And that it's not our posters and flyers. We hand them out all the time, but statistics tell us that from a poster and a flyer handed out, and that pens that got advertisement on it and everything else, the percentage is really, really low of people actually coming because of that. But flip it around, and when all of a sudden you turn around or I turn around and share my story and what God's done, and I share about an invite, and I talk to my friend, and I tell him what it's about, and I say to him, hey, I'll come sit with you so you're not alone, or hey, I'll go with you, the percentage now rises to a huge, huge height. So let me share a few stories or testimonies of where people will share it from Scripture. Psalm 66:11, David says, come and listen, and I will tell you what God has done for me. John 4:39 is the woman at the well, and says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Power of a testimony. John 9:25, the man born blind, this is him. I do not know whether he is good or bad, but I know this. I was blind and I now see. When he was challenged, and he said, is he a good man or a bad man, this Jesus? He said, well, I don't really know, but I know one thing. I was blind and now I can see. He shared his testimony. Acts 4:20, Peter and John. So we cannot stop telling about the wondrous things we have seen and heard. Or in Acts 22 and 20 to 26, there's multiple chapters, we see Paul on six different occasions. Paul uses his personal testimony to share the good news with unbelievers. Jesus in John 3:11, I speak only of what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. Share your story. I grew up in church, you know, and I mean, I didn't sleep around. I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. I was anything great or anything like that, but I didn't do those things. But growing up in church, I felt like I had no story. You only had a story if you beat up someone, killed someone, or did something drastic, and God did something in your life. But we all have a story. No matter what background you have, no matter how good or bad things have been in your life, every one of us have a story that shares a picture of how great God is. The picture of my life that through my testimony is God's keeping power, that he can keep me. And that, listen, when I say I didn't sleep around, it wasn't because the pressure wasn't there, but every time I would think about that as a young teen, or I'd try to move in that direction, all of a sudden, God would just move into all the girls around me at my high school, and, oh yeah, Phil, he's that big brother. He's the one you can cry on your shoulder. He'll care for you. And it went around the school that basically that was it for girls for me, but that was God's keeping power. It wasn't because I was all great and perfect and I had everything together. No, not at all. But God's got a plan, and his keeping power is strong. And so I share that through my testimony about God's goodness and his keeping power. Someone else, they might share about his mercy in such a way that all of a sudden, like, are you kidding me? I never realized his mercy was that big. Or maybe it's his grace, or maybe it's his love, or it's something else that your testimony would share. The value of a testimony, that it's unique, it's personal, it has authority in behind it, it is easy to remember, and it's effective. 1 Peter 3:15, I'm just kind of moving along here, Kim, so you have to pick up somewheres there. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason of the hope that you have. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared. In other words, get to know God's story. Get to know God's story. Get to know the Word of God. And be ready, always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope in your heart. So if you have your purple sheet on the very front, four parts of my testimony, we're going to walk through this quickly. Number one, and that if you're filling in the blanks, is what my life was before I met Christ. So you start there. What was my life like before I met Christ? But in the brackets after that, write this phrase, least time. In other words, spend the least amount of time on that. We don't want to glorify our old flesh. We don't want to glorify where we were. Sometimes I've listened to testimonies and someone's gone on for like 40 minutes on the good old days. Yeah, but then I met Jesus and yeah, everything's different now. Oh, gee, wow, it sure sounds like I really want to have Jesus because he's a joy killer, right? So again, and that, what was your life like before Christ? The least amount of time. Number two, how I realized is the fill in the blank, that I needed Christ. So in the bracket after that, spend more time on that. In other words, what happened in your life? What changed? What went on that all of a sudden your eyes got open to see that, hey, I'm in need of Jesus? Something's happened, something's gone. Share that. Hey, I hit a crisis. Hey, I was all by myself and all of a sudden I saw an angel. Hey, I was at the lowest point of life and I was thinking about suicide. And in that moment, all of a sudden, I just felt this embrace and behind me and I turned and no one was there. God just showed in the room and I had to find out, what is this? What's going on? Share about that. Share about that part and that how you realize you needed Christ. Number three, and that the fill in the blank is committed. How I committed my life to Christ. Spend even more time on that. How you committed your life to him. Well, what happened at that moment? What changed? What went on? Share your story. Share that part. And then the last one, number four, is the difference. That's the fill in the blank. The difference Christ has made in my life. Spend the most on that. That's the hope. I once was blind, but now I see. Spend it on the seeing. Why? So that everyone that's blind can have hope. That if God did it for you, he surely can do it for me. Share the hope of Christ. Share it with those around you. So if you became a Christian as an adult, okay, if you became a Christian, if you open up your purple and in the next little section there, if you became a Christian in the fill in the blank as an adult, use those four basic steps composed in your testimony. As you're building your testimony, writing it down and sharing it, use those four steps if you came to Christ as an adult. Okay, number two, if you became a Christian and fill in the blank at an early age but walked away. You came, you lived for Christ, you served him, and then you walked away from him, and now you're coming back. Use the same four steps, but start at the time just prior to your recommitment to Christ. Start there. Start there and share, what has he done right now? Right? It's okay to hear stories from and that my childhood and that they're encouraging and that idea, but God's not just a God of yesterday. He's a God of today. He's alive today. And then the last one is, if you became a Christian, the fill in the blank, at an early age and never strayed, use the same four steps, but point out some deep need or a common problem that others struggle with and explain why you never had to experience that. God's keeping power. What has he done in your life? Talk about the strength of God, about his keeping power. And that in that part is that there's hope. Even though we might have messed up, even though we might have done something, he makes us new. The old is gone. The new has begun. And in this new begun, in this new story, God's got keeping power. He can hang on to you. He's got a hold of you. You and I might fall down. You and I might not have that. But as we lean into him, he is strong. There is nothing that he cannot do. He's got a hold of you. You might fall down, but he doesn't fall down. And he's hanging on to you. And he will help you. He will pick you up. He will move you through. He will remind you just who he is inside of you. There's some suggestions there down and later in that page there of how to prepare your testimony. How to prepare it. How to walk through. So flip to the third page with me for a second. The Bible doesn't tell us to share our faith, but to share the hope that we have. So what's the difference between faith and hope? 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So faith is what you believe. Hope is the benefit of what you believe. Share the hope. It's the top of the third page. And that faith is the first fill in the blank, hope is the second fill in the blank, and benefit is the third. Faith and hope are complementary, very tied together in Scripture, but they are different. Faith is grounded in the reality of the past. Hope is looking for the reality of the future. Without faith, there is no hope. And without hope, there is no true faith. Faith is the ability to imagine something that is not. It's believing that it's coming, even though we're praying for it and it hasn't come yet. Hope is the expectancy that keeps our faith alive until what we believe comes true. Share the hope. Share the hope. And that's where a lot of times as Christians we lose it, because we don't have that hope. We're not desiring. We're not believing for greater things. We're not believing that God can do what he said he can do. We're just quoting things because it's the religious thing to do. It's empty. Bible says having a form of godliness but denying the power therein is a pretty scary thing. It's a dangerous thing. That hope is that power therein. That even though things aren't going really good, I got faith. And my hope says there's a better day coming. I don't know about you, but how many are hoping for a better day, right? For your marriage, for your family, for our community, for coronavirus and all the things happening. I don't know about you, but I'm praying for a better day than what I have today, amen? And my hope is that I know that God can do it. God is working. He's moving heaven and earth. Have that faith, have that hope, and raise that bar. Third page, you'll see possible testimony themes. I'm not going to go through them, but in your purple handout, you can look at it. In other words, your testimony is not just when you got saved, but your testimony is all through your life. I have thousands of testimonies. Testimony of God saving my life, not just spiritually, but physically. Car crash, electrocuted, heart stopped, and that full-out gallop on a horse chasing my friend. We were racing through trails, and all of a sudden we turned the corner. He caught his shoulder. I caught right here on my collarbone. Another inch higher, I probably would have broke my neck at a full-out gallop on a horse hitting a branch, and that was probably about the size of a golf ball in diameter. It didn't break, but I sure felt like I did. I mean, just a fraction of height different. I mean, there's a story to tell everywhere in our life and what we go through. He cares for you. Remember, you have more than just one testimony to share. Our personal testimony is still the most important thing that you have. And that leading someone in your testimony, sharing with them, and that God tells us, translating Christian terms, be careful with your terms. And so I just want to share, as I close, one more thing. An analogy, hunting and fishing. The Bible says we are fishers of men. We're not hunters of men. Right? Right? I mean, in that part, I like to hunt, I like to fish. So it's a great analogy for me. If you don't like either one of them, just follow me for a moment. In hunting, it's aggressive. Right? Poor Bambi, I know. But it's aggressive. In fishing, it's more gentle. In hunting, it's based on confrontation. But in fishing, it's based on attraction. In hunting, you go out there and then you shoot them. In fishing, you get them to nibble on the bait. Hunting, one size fits all bullets. In other words, it's just you get the gun, get the bullet. But in fishing, you have to try different lures, different tactics, different ways. It's not just one way. And so you can see the rest of them as you go along there. And as I think about that and I walk through that, then I turn around and I look at the scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in every part of the world." So, if I take it from that end, as a corporate body, if I break down, Jerusalem would be Owen Sound for us. That's where Rockcliffe is. It's in Owen Sound. So as a body of Christ, we are to reach Owen Sound in our region. Our Judea would be Ontario. Samaria would be Canada. And the world would be every country, everywhere is in between. But as an individual, my Jerusalem is my family. I need to share and witness Christ with them more than anyone else. I need to show Jesus to them. Even if they're not ready, I need to show it to them more than anyone else. If your family doesn't even know you're saved. I'm not saying understand it, agree with it, I'm not saying that, but if they don't even know what you believe or why you even believe, or even if you do believe, something's wrong. That's your Jerusalem. And that your Judea would be your relatives. Your Samaria would be your friends. And the world would be your acquaintances, everyone that you bump into, wherever they might be. But God has called us to be his witnesses in all of these places. So no matter where we are or what we're doing, this is what he has called from us. We need to learn and we need to open ourselves to the fish that in the pond that God has given us. To our family, to our relatives, to our friend and our acquaintances. As Rockcliffe Church, to Owen Sound, the greater part of Owen Sound and around our region, Ontario, Canada, and to every country. He's called us to do these things. And some people, when they look at it, say, well, I can't do anything but my family. After my family, then maybe I'll go to my relatives. Then after all of them, then I'll go. Listen, you'll never move past one, maybe two. And that some are really blessed, they might move into three. But God's not saying that. He's saying, I want you to be that to all of these areas. Just remember, right? Don't go off and it's all about over here. In other words, let me put it in a different way. If I showed up to your house and I saw a pile of dishes and I'm rolling my sleeves and helping you with your dishes, but I never do dishes at home, something's wrong. Something's wrong. If I come and show up into your house and I'm going to talk about Jesus to your family and that idea, but I never, ever talk about Jesus to my wife or my kids, something's wrong. But it's not this or that. It's God wants us to be his witnesses everywhere. He wants us to live on purpose. So, in short, you have a story. You have a story. Everyone has a story to share. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, then that's the best place to start. He stands at the door and he knocks and he says, hey, I love you. I am for you. I've got a plan. I take that which is lost and I find it. That is broken and I make it right. He says, come to me, all you who are weary, burdened down and weighed out by religion, and I'll give you rest. It's about a relationship with him. If you don't know Jesus, your personal Savior, I'd love to talk to you about him. I'd love to journey with you on the adventure, on the quest to find him, to walk with him, to reveal himself to you. And that. So if you're here today and that's where you're at, I'd love to talk with you. If you're here today and you already know Jesus, then I'm going to challenge you to polish up and prepare yourself and get yourself ready. So you can share your story at any time when God asks you. Amen? And that live on purpose. Everything you say and everything you do, it does matter. Amen? You're that important to God and to his kingdom and what he's doing. Jesus, I just thank you right now, Lord. I thank you, God. Would you just break down the lies and the stickiness? And Lord, as we walk through our testimony and we prepare and we open ourselves and we get ourselves ready for whatever place or time or person that you ask us to share or to do something. God, Lord, I pray that you would help connect the dots so that we would look back. You would redeem those things so that as we look back, none of them have a hold on us anymore. That's what I used to be, but I'm not there anymore. And that I used to fall down every week, but now I might fall down once every 6-7 months. God, thank you for that. You're helping me. And he that began a good work will complete it. God's not finished with you yet. And if he's not finished with you, guess what? He's not going to be finished with your friend or with your family member or your coworker. So God, I just thank you for what you're doing. Lord, whatever the testimony might be that you want us to rise up, you want us to share, may we just be ready to share what you have done in our lives so that others can taste and see that you are good. God, thank you for this call, for the great invitation. Thank you for inviting us onto it. Thank you for, Lord, opening the door for us and that and reminding us there's always room for one more. And God, Lord, we just give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen. And that I just really encourage you, prepare your testimony, get ready. And that because we're going to start calling on you and that during our services over the next little bit to share a little nugget of your testimony. So don't be caught unaware. I've just told everyone it's going to happen at times. And so I just encourage you.